Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl.
And my name is Rachel Scarston, and for 3 seasons, I played Tamsin.
Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast,
a show where we will look at all the episodes, share some behind-the-scenes stories,
and chat with some very special guests.
Now, on the show, our relationship was sometimes rocky,
but in life, our friendship is rock solid.
We are so glad that you are here to join us for this trip down memory lane.
We love that the family is back together again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 3 of the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. Today, we're going to be covering episodes 5 and 6 of the show, and we have a great show planned for you, starting with our first of 2 guests, Mr. Chris Holden Reed.
Yay!
Hello,
welcome, Chris Holden Reed.
Thanks for having me back.
And Chris and I did not plan our outfits.
Yeah, for those of you watching, they are matching models in their turtleneck sweaters.
Yeah. I wish I had glasses. You know that I used to buy glasses with only glass in them. So that
I am not surprised.
Glasses.
But I bet you could rock a good glasses.
I know. Yeah. I really think I can rock glasses, but I don't need them yet. One day.
So Rachel and I right
and
now.
I wear bifocals. So.
Me too. They're not bifocals anymore. They're called progressives. Okay. It's a very progressive.
Okay. Well, I wear
name.
Progressives then. I wear progressives. So I'm constantly
too.
Like moving my
me
head
too.
Around.
That's and, even worse because remember, you're progressing into old age. You might as well just call them old people specs.
Old people specs.
That's it.
Yes, no. It's true. It's true.
All right. So we are going to start by talking about episode.
Yes, we're talking about episodes 5 and 6. Episode 5, which I'm super excited to talk about.
Yeah.
Brother Faye of the Wolves. It was written by Alexandra Zeroni and directed by Clark Johnson, which I had forgotten that. Mm. But yes, it was.
I
and then
too.
Episode 6, which is called It's Better to Burn Out Than Faye Away, written by Steve Cochran, directed by Gail Harvey. But Mr. Holden Reed, episode 5, Brother Faye of the Wolves, was Dyson's big backstory episode. It was epic. Your hair was epic. Your horse riding, your accent, give us the testosterone juice that this episode brought. Give us some stuff on this.
It was so hilarious.
How did you feel watching it?
Because it is the testosterone, like water fights. It's like, no, more testosterone for you. let's object, wet t-shirt. It's the wet t-shirt moment with me in the alley when you're like spraying me down. And
how
did they find a cotton shirt that was so sheer that my nipple showed through it when you hit me with that hose? Like, really?
Well, it wasn't an accident. I'll tell you that.
Good job, Ann Dixon. No, I watched it. I was a little embarrassed for myself. I was like, oh God. Oh God, Chris. what did you get yourself into again? I got to say, my abs looked great. It made me really want to get those guys back. So no more of my potato chips. What am I doing eating these things? Away!
As of away, right calls. Now. You heard it here first. It yeah, Chris great. Is, yeah.
No. I really want to get ripped again.
What was the Dyson regime like, actually, the regimen? What was the...
Starvation. It was really high protein and starvation. I didn't know
I
much.
Remember you having a lot of high protein. I do remember that. Like you eating sort of raw bits and pieces.
I get home from set and I had a freezer full of raw sushi grade fish. I would just chop it up frozen.
Yeah.
And it would thaw while I was taking my shower, washing off the day. And I would just eat raw fish or cheese or meat and nuts, the odd apple.
What about workouts? What kind of workout? You were working out a ton, I remember.
Yeah, I was living in a condo at that time, so there was a gym downstairs, and I would just go down and lift some weights and do... I've never been like a pump it up, because I just can't get big. So I just do like body weight stuff, and I was going for the Brad Pitt in Fight Club kind of body, you know? That's always...
Well, I think you achieved it. You yeah. achieved it.
Wow. Close.
So this was... this is a side of Dyson that we had not seen before, because at this point, you know, we know Dyson, we love Dyson, but to go back and see that like really hyped up, extra masculine Dyson was really cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I liked the period piece stuff. I thought that was great. Some of the modern stuff, like the wrestling in the alleyway, or like, you know, even because Senia Kenzie, that one scene is like, as long as they don't start sniffing each other's butts, you know, like, because we're like howling at each other, like all this like ultra male stuff. And it made me kind of uncomfortable to watch it again. It's like,
really?
That's a little over the top masculinity.
Like with your heads together in the bar and all that stuff. No, but I don't think it was over the top. I think it was exactly right.
Okay.
Because that was the kind of... I mean, the other piece is, remember that the actor, that Caden, who was played by Graham Abbey, had you worked with him before?
No, but I knew him. He's a very prominent theater actor. And so he brought that theater sort of largeness, you know?
Yes.
Which was...
And he brought that sense of history for you guys. Mm-hmm. And so that it made sense to me that you guys... He was also manipulating you. Mm-hmm, I mean, story-wise, he was manipulating you. So like for him to bring that extra... to kind of hype Dyson up, I thought it was
And like, honestly, he did such a great job that he carried me into that sort of uber masculinity, which was fun. But when we got to the period piece stuff, it was actually quite grounded. And like, and that's where the Norn was back in, you know.
I know. I wrote that down because I had forgotten that you saw the Norn way back in yesteryear.
Well, and because they used her from first season, right? Like this was like the backstory of how Dyson knew the Norn and that he wouldn't sacrifice his wolf for his best friend. But so it played nicely. Like this is the writing of some of the season two is really great, how they sort of touched base with season one and brought points forward. You know, but that he would sacrifice for Bo in the end of season one, right? It sort of it raised the stakes for what he had lost with Bo. And at the same time, then introducing this amazing character of Kiara, played by Lena Rosler, who we will be meeting.
I hope.
And she was such a great... She's also such a good actress and had such a unique look and gravitas of her own. Like she grounded that character instantly. Like it was interesting watching because I forgot how nice that little bit, like that, all those, like, I think we only had like four scenes in the flashback, but
yeah.
I also loved it,
like writing wise and story wise, that she wasn't your ex girlfriend.
No.
Like when she comes into the story, this was like a deep love that was unrequited. Like that's what made it stronger, right?
It's very smart writing in this episode.
Yeah.
Those writers know what they're doing.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure. We think it's all us. It really isn't.
Absolutely not us, guys.
Absolutely not us. Yeah.
But it was a real treat to watch it over again. And like,
yeah.
It put me back in that mind frame of that time of what we were all going through in our lives. Like, this was Oscar. We were just kind of getting the inklings that it was going to be a bit of a hit. And, you know, yes. The show started feeling bigger and like, you know,
just saving
your baby.
No, saving a bug. There was like this little, there's these little needles that fly in and there's spiders that live here. I don't want them to die.
I hear you.
Yeah. Continue.
I respect what you were saying
about the show.
You have a ton of karma coming your way, babe.
You good played karma. That really well.
Well, I want you to know, I want you to know that.
You guys just kept talking.
I have a spider catcher.
No, I don't want to catch, like, they can live there.
I don't know. No, they can live there. I have a spider catcher, catch and release.
I know, but it's cold because, out there. Like, you know, I'm going to deny them shelter in the winter.
Rachel builds an apartment. And
you guys are a different level of compassion with me. I live on a farm now, and like, We have a lot of bugs, and bugs come in, and when they come in, they don't get that kind of treatment.
They don't get out.
Yeah.
It's the tissue and the toilet treatment. It's, yeah. Oh. Well, there's enough of them that if I just put them outside, they just come back in. Anyway.
That's true.
Anyway, different philosophies. Yeah, this was when we were sort of discovering that, or starting to realize that we had a bit of a hit on our hands with Lost Girl, like the beginning. In the middle of season two, right? Because then that's when they extended season two to a full 22 or whatever we did.
Wait, at this point, were you guys on Sci-Fi yet? Or you were just on?
I don't think so. I don't think we were. I think it got sold to Sci-Fi in season two, end of two or maybe three.
Yeah.
It was later. It was later.
I can't remember. I just know we got a bigger order for this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
around this time, like probably around filming five, six or something like that, right?
Well, you were leaping through the woods.
I did injure myself though in this episode. This is the episode.
Chris, I know this and I didn't want to bring it up, but you're bringing it up. So it was painful for me to watch this because of that, because I know exactly what happened and I know exactly when it happened.
Yeah. So what happened?
And it was awful.
It was actually in that alleyway fight. Which we shot at the end. That was the last day, I think. And I had that big guy on my back and we had to keep doing the same action over again, which is he's running me at a wall and I have to catch us both with one foot and shove us back and like, you know, just keep going. And I got a double disc herniation from that. Yeah. So I had one episode off and thank God I had that fucking episode off. Because I was immediately in like trying to get it taken care of. But when I came back for 7 and 8, remember I couldn't even walk barely.
Like, it was awful. You were so stiff. You couldn't move. And you were so sad because of course you were, you can't use your body. You know?
It was like I was crawling to the bathroom sort of kind of situation. Like I could only take tiny little steps, Rach. Like I could barely even stand straight. And remember I was laying down on like any surface I could in between every shot.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get off.
And you had to be heavily doubled. You had to be doubled for even things that were really
like ordinary. Crossing a room, like at a
full stride walk or anything you had to be doubled for. And you were very upset about that too. I remember I was very worried about you. But I remember the force at which you decided to like, you were like, I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger.
How many episodes was it until you didn't have to be doubled for things like that? That's
probably
a serious
injury. It's a serious injury. It took me about 8 weeks to be able to be semi-functioning where I could do like Pilates. So it was a good 4 episodes where it was shitty. Like because as I was watching, I was like, oh, this was the best time of my life. I was like, oh, I love this time. Like, and then I was like, oh, but then that happened. That was a shitty time.
It was
You know what came out of that, actually? Like, because I'd been such an athlete as a young man, and like, I just took my body for granted, right? Like, I was always using big muscle groups. I was like, I can do anything. And I didn't really realize that I actually didn't have a great core, like deep core, like Pilates core. You know, I was just using big muscles to like sort of overcompensate. And so when that happened, it forced me to like start from scratch, like crawling, like going to Pilates, getting a one-on-one Pilates instructor that I was meeting like 2-3 times a week. And it started with me basically doing Kegels because that's all I could do. And that's where I learned about, like, that's where the base of core starts for all of our physiology, like men and women. And it's like, I was just like tilting my hips for 2 weeks. Like, that's all I could do. And then eventually I could like raise my hips a little off the ground. And then I was able to like get them higher and like kind of do like plow or whatever they call that in yoga, you know, and then have a ball, you know, and then slowly building and building and building. And also rebuilding the entire neurological connection of how I did things as a man. Like, as a man, you know, you pick something up, you go like, off you. You sort of exhale, push everything out, right? You've heard men do that.
Yeah.
That's shit.
We've heard that sound. Yeah.
Yeah, we've all heard that sound. So it taught me that actually you should never hold your breath. You actually have to, from deep down in your Kegels, hold yourself there. And like, the breath should always be fluid. And it's like, and like, it re-taught me how to use my body that I take it for granted, to the point now where I never have back pain anymore. Like,
no. And you were so dedicated to it. Like, Rachel, he'd leave set and go to Pilates, and leave set and go to PT, like all the things that you were so dedicated to it.
I threw everything at it. I was like, the money was just flying out the window. Like, I would go like acupuncture in the morning, massage in the afternoon, Cairo after that. And then I do Pilates like the next morning. It was just, I was doing like three things a day for it. Like,
Gosh.
Well, should we have Paul Amos on so that he can rip on you for it? Because I think he's in the waiting room.
Okay, I have got to take a picture of what Paul has named himself in the waiting room so we can put this on social media at some point.
Is it Vampire Moose or whatever? What was it? What the hell did you call him, Rich?
All right.
Everyone, look. What? The best actor on the show by far. Let's introduce the best actor in the show by far, Mr. Paul Amos, who's joining us.
Where's your Lambda diploma?
Yes.
Who needs a Lambda diploma when you're reading Rilke? Yes, just specifically for you, Chris, because I started reading it in German.
Und dann der Schweinhuder hat gemacht, ein großer Geliebe.
Oh, my God.
This is trouble.
This is trouble. And I mean,
let me turn him down.
Yeah, we don't want to pay
by
the rights.
By far, the best actor on the show ever. This is you was so aptly named, Paul.
That's my Welsh. This is Valentine's.
I hope that shows up.
Yeah, it is Valentine's Day.
Paul. I don't know if you remember episode 6 that you and Emmanuel are in, but you are very naked in that episode. There's a lot of you, a lot of your bod, a lot of S&M bondage play. Does this ring a bell?
Yeah. I mean, if Rachel had given me a heads up, I probably would have gone like full, full.
For everyone listening, I
would have gone full bra and Rilke. Yeah.
Paul maybe 4 minutes ago. I was like, can you come on?
Yeah, classic Rachel.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, too.
I know. We're just in the middle of a million.
Yeah, I'm not a producer on this show. Don't throw me under the bus. I've been under enough buses thanks to you. Thank you very much. No, but 206. Now, was that the one where you got to control Emmanuel and she did the dance?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Okay. It was what? Okay. So, oh my gosh, I've watched so many episodes. This is the one where.
This is in the alleyway where I.
Yes.
Is it this episode here?
I can't see. Yes, I'm too old.
But actually.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
That was the first time I had to nair. That's when I started, you know, I mean, I felt like a prostitute on the show sometimes anyway, but, you know, that's when I grew into that because the smell of burning hair is like quite something. Yeah.
Chemically burning hair. Yeah.
Yeah, but you are.
It's a special smell.
You're very smooth. Disconcertingly so for my wife. But, you know, it's because you're used to this hairy guy, and all of a sudden he's very smooth.
He's very smooth. I'm going to close my door because my dog is barking. Hang on.
Yeah, there's nothing.
This is a super professional podcast here.
Hey, this is Lost Girl, man. This is what they love.
Yeah,
the lead just vanished. It's fine. She's
gone to go have a baby. She'll be right back.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Chris, he's probably just going to go out and take a shit soon anyway, so.
Okay, now we're getting too, yeah.
Hey, we know each other very well.
Only in the morning.
Only in the morning.
I'm like a well-timed clock.
It's one of the things I miss about you, and because we used to live so close together. There's not many people I know that drink their smoothies out of the blender. You know?
Oh, I just did this morning, too.
Yeah.
Do you drink the smoothie out of the blender?
Yes, it does.
This morning I did a half and half. I kind of, because the blender bottom's getting a little cruddy now, so I poured it into a Mason or glass today. I'm getting a little more sophisticated.
But why do half and half? Then you're just dirtying both.
I know. That was always my philosophy. So why wouldn't I just drink it out of the blender? I eat my dinner out of my pot. I don't know.
Yeah. And the amount of raw eggs.
I don't plate my food. Do you guys plate your food?
Well,
but you do.
I do.
Of course, Anna.
I do, except lately I want to do that thing where everyone gets a cutting board to eat off of. I just have this vision of me like slicing things and putting it on cutting boards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get that vision from?
Probably Instagram.
That's so 2015, everybody.
Oh!
Okay. I didn't realize. Let's bring it back.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Okay, so yes, Vex was very naked. You're right. It was the alleyway episode, which I feel like. Okay, so it starts with the graffiti artist in the alley, and he shoots the old man, and you see blood splatter all over that wall. I feel like it was the most violent moment in Lost Girl, because we saw violence, but it was just really like gunshot close range. Blood splatter.
I don't know. There was the quality of some writing was pretty violent. What was violent? Yeah. Was it?
It was. I just remember being like struck by how violent that was in rewatching it.
Episode, wasn't it? It was like, you know, somebody, the old man got killed, and then we thought it was Deshane. It was the actor who played the.
How do you remember this? I literally just watched it and I'm struggling. Paul and now you remember it and you didn't.
Good memory. You don't know this about him?
It's unbelievable.
I don't.
No, he'll remember like such obscure, random things.
I remember you were in the alley and Kenzie has to put a sword between your legs.
Yeah, and outtakes as well. Because
I think that's why I remember it so
well.
Very
close to my nared apart.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, you nared all the way up, huh?
Wow. No, why not? You know.
You nared.
I'll see what it feels like for once, you know.
I would have been a little bit cautious about the chemical burn on the ball. Hey,
you see what he was wearing? It's like wearing like a string of leather.
That was the hardest. That was that actually that outfit by then, because I think, you know, I was starting to eat a little bit more in life and get a bit older. It was harder to get in that in season two. The four seasons, seasons to go. Yeah, it was tough.
I came up. I had some good. Well, I didn't come up with, but in collaboration with wardrobe, we had bow cinched and tucked and all that stuff. So I had some freedom.
But what was he going to do? Or like Chris, when they're actually just naked?
That's what I mean. Like I never like stood there naked. You know what I mean? Like if I was not wearing clothes, I was in a love scene. So there was a degree of choreography and cover and great lighting and all of this kind of stuff. And then if any flesh I showed was like very purposeful and cinched and tucked and pushed. So I felt very lucky. I feel for you guys is what I'm saying. Yeah. I feel for you guys.
Yeah.
It's kind of this of every other production, like the guys were getting in these positions of being like fully nude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before you came on, we were discussing 205, which was the Brotherhood of the Wolf, the flashback one.
Oh yeah.
Where it was Chris's big flashback episode.
And I had my wet shirt moment with Graham. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was not as naked as you, but I got the wet t-shirt treatment in the previous episode. I was that guy.
Yeah. You got your full Mel Gibson, didn't you, on that episode?
I did. I definitely pulled from Mel Gibson mixed with a bit of a Trainspotting accent. Freedom! Yeah.
I remember that.
With an air extension.
Rachel, were you ever nude on the show?
No, I just wore a bow. Don't you remember that bow? Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I think I was at a con that Chris and Holly, you guys were at. Remember in that guy?
And that guy?
He was wearing just a bow. Yeah.
I love it.
That was one of the best, the best like cosplays I've ever seen.
I think came up.
What?
No, it's just like, you know how the iPhone photos are always on our screensavers and computers? Sometimes that photo comes up and I'm like, you look, you don't look that
awkward.
Paul,
do you have any specific, because we're now into season two. Do you have any season two thoughts?
Well, he was very progressive as a character.
He was.
For sure.
I didn't realize how progressive he was in terms of like his trajectory. They all were. I mean, they were all so far ahead of their time. And, you know, it was, I think, in season two that you started to got that a bit more about them. And they started to, that got layered a lot more into the show. You know, it was good. It was great. Both those characters.
Yeah, we were saying how, like, a lot of season two, there's a lot of callbacks to season one. The writing got a little bit more nuanced and, there was a lot of stories weaving together from the past and the present, and it's really cool to rewatch it.
Yeah, with the 22 eps, I was only in like four of them. It was that you get to do that, right? You get to weave that kind of stuff because you've got this map.
I guess you better do that.
Yeah, you've got to.
You got to.
Yeah, and everything's so tight these days. So you imagine what it must be like for writers on that show. It must be in freedom, you know.
Because we didn't start knowing we were doing 22. It was 13. And then we got a back nine order, which meant people had to really scramble to tell these stories, but they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
I can't believe you were only in four episodes.
I know. Yeah, me too.
I was in like one of the episodes up front. And then as the writing got more nuanced and the characters got more nuanced, and Vex came into his own, I feel season two came.
Yeah.
So I guess it was more season three, four, because I felt like you were on the show all the time, but I guess that was really the last couple seasons then.
It's just the effect I had, Chris.
when you're right. the best actor on the show by far, it's
yeah. it's more episodes of the same potency as 22 for the rest of the show,
but by a long shot.
Right? It's yes, absolutely, absolutely.
I don't think so. I think some of the other people did a pretty good job on that show of being good at acting. There was some amazing episodes where people just got to, you know, run through the range of what they were capable of. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's what we got.
That was.
By season two, I think everyone was finding their range a bit with the characters and their ability to actually act on camera, because everyone was getting an opportunity to do it a lot, you know?
A lot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I feel like there's more nuance in people's performances, and maybe it was in the writing too. I don't know, but watching it, like watching the beginning of season one, it was really hard for me last year. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can see things in it that are, you know, just from my own perspective, I can see things that had a lot of value in it, but it still makes me cringe. But watching season two, we really hit the ground running, I feel like. And there was no like ramping up into anything, even on camera. Like, you don't see it on screen. We hit the ground running, and there's just more nuance and subtlety, more fun. Like, we had more fun even in those darker moments. It was less linear in terms of storytelling.
It was a unique show. It wasn't like it was a procedural. It was a little bit in the background. Mm-hmm. But storylines were so kind of out there and epic, and everybody got to play. And you don't often do that on a show. Even if it's been running for 10 years, you can still keep in a very narrow field in terms of what you do as an actor. That show was all over the shop. Like, you know, you could have a lispy Spanish accent one moment and, you know, actually doing a very serious scene the next, you know, which.
Well, this was the season of the famous body swap episode.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you were not in it?
I wasn't. Well, I mean, obviously.
Well, you weren't. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to let
go. I feel left out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to let go.
Oh, that's right. Lena was in it, though. Lena and Casey.
Yep.
You and Michael Cram.
Michael Cram, that's right. And you Ksenia. And Ksenia.
And those are the
and
only
Zoe. Three. Oh, no, Zoe and like and another the, guest star.
And the Reiner. Yeah, the actual
murderer. Guest star coming on and having to body swap.
Well, that's what Michael Cram had to play Bo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's insane. Hey, body swap our lead.
Could you imagine seeing that breakdown? You'd be like, what? They want me to play the lead as the lead in my body? Oh, like, you better start watching the show.
I mean, I had it easier in terms of like no one had seen him before. So,
yeah.
So yes, I watched him but he was whatever I was going to do, frankly. But that was a fun episode. But yeah, it was the season where I feel like we got a lot more play. And by then we knew we had something special. Fans were responding. They loved the show. They loved the silliness of it. They loved the case of the week part of it. And they loved obviously the relationships of it. So I feel like in season two, we just got to kind of like skip along and play. And I feel like that was the season that we were all over the subway in Toronto. The posters were everywhere.
Oh yeah. Right. I remember that.
There was one season where there was a poster of me, a huge one. And it said like, it was a picture of me. And at the top, it said, "She needs sex to survive." Not, wow. That's great.
That's great.
That's great. But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It would be nice. Yeah.
Where was that one? We should have camped out under that sucker.
I know. I know. I'm sure I have a photo of it on my old flip phone somewhere.
Everyone was having so much fun off screen as well at that point in time.
Yeah.
I remember the build-up that episode for this body swap as well. It was like you were in school and there was like, you know, we were all putting on a play. Because I remember you were all practicing. You were all spending time in each other's houses trying to like copy each other. It was like really fun. Mm-hmm. Like not many shows do that where you've got that camaraderie and then you bring it to life on the screen.
There was just like less pressure in season two for some reason. You know, there's all the day-to-day pressures of time pressure and, you know, all that stuff. But there was just like less, we just had fun.
Or like having a child while you're doing a show, you know?
Yeah, that came along a little bit later for me. I thought, you know, between seasons,
that was pretty unique too. Not many people were like having children and still holding up the show as a lead.
No, I know. Yes. That was a time. That was a time. He was 5 weeks old when I was back on set.
Oh my gosh. I remember
five weeks old, which was insane.
Wow, Anna, you are a fucking trooper. Now that we've all gone through having kids, like,
But I hadn't had a kid at that point. You guys have had kids. But to me, I was like, 5 weeks, this is fine. She's going to be fine.
She's going to be fine. Yeah, she'll pump between takes. Yeah. It was intense. I'm not going to lie. By the time we get to that part of the podcast, it'll be like a therapy session for me.
But the great thing about it is that and some Kleenex.
Yeah. I certainly have lots to say about it. But I did have a solid show, an incredible cast, great producers supporting me. Like, you know, like of all the things, I had so much support. And then remember, I got the bigger trailer by then. I got a bigger trailer. Oh, so I'm going to bring a baby in here. I need a big trailer. It's just been.
I was like, it's the only reason she had the child. She just.
Yeah. He wasn't even mine. I just brought this baby. I was like, I'll eat a lot of cheese between seasons and I'll just bring this baby. Exactly. I need the bigger trailer. I miss you guys.
Yeah.
I really do.
Since the four of us have been on together, like, I know. Just hung out.
I know. Do we want to say anything else about episodes 5 and 6? Chris, we have to emphasize how incredible you were in that episode. Oh, and I know how meaningful it was for you.
It was it was honestly the most fun that Dyson got to have on that show. And I'm like, except for like the little, you know, the 209s and like the Alice in Wonderland, you know, that kind of stuff. But like that, yeah, Dyson was often a bit curmudgeon, you know, he's always kind of suffering through it. And in these rare ones, it was like, we got to really blow it up and have some fun.
Yeah. It was like physical Chris too, right? In his physical prime.
That's what we talked about, Paul. Like how much testosterone was like just radiating from the screen. From
his then in the very last scene, I blew my back out.
The hair was catching the sweat, and the pheromones were pure. Yeah. Yes,
it's sweaty and dead lines.
With the Scottish accent, hadn't showered in a century. It was palpable on set.
Former Dyson with his undead loins pulsating. Yeah.
I know they had hair extensions here and down there. It was just like. Just saying.
For the European cut, cut of the show. Yeah.
Dreadlocks. But yeah, it was a great one and a lot of fun to do and a lot of fun to check out again. So thanks for coming along on the rewatch with us.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much to Chris and to Paul for joining us. We really appreciate it. And I know fans always love to hear from you guys. So we will see you guys on the next one. Hi, everybody. It's time for some voicemails. And if you are joining me, if you are visually seeing me, you will see that it is morning where I am. I am still in my bathrobe. I am drinking my coffee out of the I Heart My Mom mug that was given to me by my youngest. So good morning if it's morning where you are. You'll also hear a lot of hammering because there's a lot of construction around me, but welcome to my space. And, I'm happy to be here with you. So I love getting these voicemails. This first one is from someone named Zoe. It is not Zoe Palmer. I don't think it's Zoe Palmer. Even though Zoe has a lot of questions, she's an inquisitive gal. which I love. But this first voicemail is from Zoe. So let's hear what she has to say.
Hiya. I've just rediscovered the show very recently. I've been going through a rough patch, and this show is so comforting, and I just am having a really great time rewatching it. I love Bo, Tamsin, and Lauren so much. And so thank you for the show. My question is that if you can revisit this show again, for example, like a reboot or you know, a new season, or go back in time and redo this all over again, is there something that you would like to do more of? For example, like working with somebody more, or is there something that you would like to change about the show? Thank you.
Okay, Zoe, thank you for that. Great question. I'm sorry you're going through a rough patch, and I'm glad that you're rediscovering the show, and that that you say that it's been bringing you some comfort. So that's really nice to hear. I wish you well. Is there something? Okay, I think a reboot of Lost Girl is a no-brainer. I think there's so much to mine story-wise still from the Fae world and from these characters. I think we could see them where they are now, meet them where they're at, and certainly have more stories to tell. So that would be interesting. What would I want to see if we did that? I think that, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I'd want to see Bo kind of really step into her Fae power in a new place and have a new stature in the Fae world. I think she was so powerful without realizing it, and sort of came into that power by the end of the series. But it'd be nice to see her take sort of more of a matriarchal look down at the Fae world and be able to really hone in on that power and sort of pass down what she knows. I think that would be amazing. If I could go back, what would I change? Mostly nothing. Almost nothing I would change, because the whole experience was so incredible. But for myself, I would worry way less, because I spent too much time too concerned about so many different variables. And looking back now, certainly doing this rewatch, I can see that I was probably a little too hard on myself when I really didn't need to be. So that's what I would change. But I love this question, Zoe, and thank you so much for asking it. Okay. Another voicemail. Let's have a listen. I'm not actually sure who this is from, but let's take a listen together.
What? A start over button? Yes. Third time's a charm. So, what stresses you out the most when shooting a scene? What the wardrobe department gave you to wear? Which I would personally like to say, God bless them. Haha, ladies. The sexy scenes or the crying scenes? Thanks a lot. Have an awesome day.
Okay. I think I know who this is from. Amy, I think that's you. I could be wrong. So forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think that's you, Amy. What stresses me out the most? I love this question. What the wardrobe department? No, I loved what I wore as Bo. I loved the Bo silhouette. It made sense. It was heightened. It was hyper sexy. It was comic book inspired. And I had room to like move around. It was not skin tight around my belly and around my, it just was nice. I never had wardrobe complaints. There's certainly things I liked better than others, but no complaints. Sex scenes, love scenes are always weird. They're just weird. But luckily I got to do most of them with Zoe and or Chris. So the ones that were weird were the people that came on and I met them 5 minutes before in the makeup trailer, and then suddenly we're having a love scene. Those were always awkward. So, but did they stress me out? I mean, yes, but it was part of the job and part of the character and part of the storytelling, frankly. And what was the last one? I forget what you said. Oh gosh, wardrobe, sex scenes. Look, I've forgotten the question already, but I will tell you what stressed me out the most while filming was always time. Time pressure. There's no show that you can ever be on where everyone goes, wow, we've got so much time today. You're always fighting the clock. And so the ability to do it between action and cut whenever that might be in your day is the skill you develop as an actor, and certainly when you need to be the lead of a 1-hour action drama. And so that was the pressure, was time pressure. But otherwise, I don't know if you can hear this construction, guys. It's pretty epic. This will not be true of the whole podcast. Amy, thank you for your question. Zoe, thank you for your question. Thank you for all these questions, guys. I really, really love them. Thank you for joining me in my bathrobe with my coffee. And we will see you guys on the next podcast. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon, where you will get exclusive video access to all of our episodes.